We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now and guide us as we meditate upon another section of the Word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. I pray that you open the treasures which are hidden in it to us, as only you can do, and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Acts chapter 9, verses 32 to 35, a certain man. We're going to read through the whole text right now, and then go back and take some of the blessings that the Holy Spirit has given us from it. So Acts 9, beginning at verse 32, "And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all the quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Rise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Sidon saw him and turned to the Lord." So at first reading, it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot here. But these are the words of the Holy Spirit, so having prayed for his guidance, we'll take a look and see what he gives us. I'm going to use the shotgun method and number the thoughts just as they came to me during the week. Number one, and it came to pass. This is a time reference. And time references are always very, very important. Many time references in Scripture we know very well. Example, "And it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." And the time references are very important there. We pay close attention to them, because God's timing is always so important. So it came to pass as Peter passed throughout all quarters. And Peter may not have known really why he was going where he was, but he was being guided by the Holy Spirit. And this is not the first time something like this has happened. We immediately think of Ruth, who when she was going out to glean, her hap was, it's a time frame reference, she stopped at the field of Boaz. Little did she realize the importance of that. She was going to marry the man that owned that field, and they would have a child that would be in the bloodline of Jesus Christ. But she was going out to glean. And the same thing is true of you and me. There's so often in our lifetime, as we look back on it, that we see the importance of where we were and when we were there. But at the time, we had no idea of it. One example in my life would be the day when my wife and I were walking down the block in the south side of La Crosse on a blistery hot day. And we had to find a place to live. We had 2 days to do it. One of the days was already gone, and half of the next day was gone. We had no idea. I was looking down at the sidewalk, and there was a weed growing there. And I remember that weed growing in the hot sunshine. And here I was walking down the street in the city where I grew up, and I had no idea where I would be living or what I would be doing. But at the same time, at that place, I was a block and a half away from a bakery that I'd be giving my money from, and actually good wages, not real good, but better than nothing, and spent 17 years there. Little did I realize that because there were no jobs available. And now on a block and a half on the other side, we'd be meeting a woman that would get us a place to stay. And so all of this was within three blocks. I had no idea of it. Didn't know where I was going or what I was doing. But it's all guided by the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure every one of you can give examples of the same thing in your life. At least the older ones can. And the younger ones can know this is happening now. And it will happen. So Peter came down also to the saints that dwell at Lydda. So there were saints there. Who were they? The Holy Spirit doesn't tell us, except for one. But do we have to know? A saint is a saint. And the saints that were dwelling there were members of that very small remnant that was chosen by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit before the foundation of the world. And there are members of the same family we are. We know that. So there he found a certain man named Aeneas. And that term, a certain man, is interesting because the Holy Spirit uses it quite a few times and usually doesn't tell us who the certain man was. The reason being that the certain man is often a kind of a representative person of every child of God. It's your story and mine. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves who beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Well, that's you and I. That's our story. We're the certain man. And here, the Holy Spirit uses this term. And there Peter found, this is interesting, the certain man didn't find Peter. Peter found the certain man. So only a short time ago, when Jesus was walking the face of this earth, he's the one that found the ones that needed help. Now he's ascended into heaven, sitting at the right hand of God. But his Holy Spirit is here. And Peter here is a type of the Holy Spirit. The role of the Holy Spirit is to seek and to save that which was lost and bring it back to the Good Shepherd. And so now Peter is a type of the Holy Spirit here. And we think of the passage, I was found by him who sought me not. That's Jesus talking. And that's your story and mine. We were found by him who sought us not. We weren't seeking him. It all gets back to the Holy Spirit. The name Aeneas, according to the book that I looked at, means praise. And I think that's important. The question would come to mind, how could he praise God when he couldn't even walk? He was bedridden for 8 years, and it wasn't that he was born that way. He lived some years before something happened. He kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. So he was not a little child. He was a grown man. Remember that. We'll get back to that in a few minutes. But the 8 years is the one thing that stuck out to me during the week when I read the text. Which had kept his bed 8 years. So to finish it up, Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, make thy bed. And he arose immediately. Notice to whom Peter gives all the honor and glory. Right where it belongs, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. This is so different than so many of the false prophets of our own day who push themselves to the forefront. God, I thank thee that I'm not like other men. Standing in front of the temple so everybody could see him. And then I do this and I do that and I do this and I do that. You have a totally different approach here. It's Jesus Christ that's the front and center of this, and he gets all the benefit, all the honor of it. So then that they that dwelt at Lydda and Sidon saw him and turned to the Lord. Well, there's a few red blinking lights here, for me at least. Is this a miracle faith? We know so many just had a miracle faith. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. We don't know. But anyway, a few concluding thoughts. And it zeroes upon the 8 years. 8 years that this man was on his bed, couldn't walk a step. And eight is the number in Scripture that refers to a new beginning. We know that. So this is very important. It was a literal number. It was 8 literal years, but it also has a spiritual meaning. And that's true of a lot of the numbers in Scripture. A lot of them are literal numbers, but they have spiritual meanings. There are many, though, like in the book of Revelation, that are not literal numbers. They just have spiritual meaning. But the Holy Spirit will make that clear by the context. But here, so you had 8 literal years and a new beginning. Well, you think of right away in the opening chapters of Genesis, where so much of these things later in Scripture go back to, God created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested, and then the week started over again, which would be the eighth day. Doesn't say eight, but it's there. So, and the number eight, other places in Scripture, refers to a new beginning. And I believe this is very important. In Scripture, the life of a child of God that's following Jesus is talking about they're following the way. The way. Christ is called the way. Well, a couple times. And that would seem to indicate the way you live. The way you're walking through this world as a stranger and pilgrim, going through this great and terrible wilderness, going toward your eternal home in heaven. So the 8 years, and it talked the new beginning, he arose immediately. He could walk immediately after he was cured, and it was on the eighth day. So I thought of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, and I kind of launched off from that. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So the child of God does good works, and these good works were foreordained by God before the person was even born. This, your life is under full, absolute control as a child of God. He not only numbers the hairs on your head, he guides where you go and the good works that you do. And so that's part of it. And it says there we should walk in them. Well, this guy couldn't walk for 8 years. couldn't walk. Now he can. So this is pointing toward the good works that he is going to be doing, in my opinion, in the new heavens and the new earth. We are going to be walking in the way, and we're going to be doing good works all over the place. We're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit at the last day. Partakers, full partakers of the divine nature. We don't have that yet, but we're going to. What do we have? Well, we have the first fruits of the Holy Spirit. A little dabble of it. And that's a powerful thing. The first fruits of the Spirit, Spirit's dwelling within the bodies of all of God's elect, the very small remnant. And the good works that we do, it's the Holy Spirit working through us. So he gets all the honor and glory. That's right where it belongs. And so the good works that we're doing, basically as we're lying on this bed for 8 years, they're nothing compared to what we're going to be doing in the afterlife. However, they still are a product of the first fruits of the Spirit. And they are very, very important. It is extremely edifying in a family situation where you've got a husband and wife, both sinners, father and mother, both sinners, children also sinners, but you see the product of the first fruits of the Spirit in their lives. And this is exciting. This is exciting. It's a tremendously important thing. Nothing compared to what we're going to do, but it's still here. And we're down here on our bed for 8 years, and the Holy Spirit is giving us good works. And you see it starting in the family situation. So, I want to do something that's a little different right now. What I'm going to do, briefly, is look upon what we think when we look at the good works on this earth, and then what the person that is doing the good works thinks. So we're sitting here, we're watching. We're watching, and here's a guy that's doing good works, and his name is Saul, and he's playing the part of a fool because he's being accosted by other people that are saying they're better than he is. He's not a true apostle like they are, although he is because he saw Jesus after his resurrection, and they're bragging about it. So he said, you know, I'm going to play the part of a fool. And I'm going to play on your playing field, and I'm going to start bragging myself compared to what you're doing. And he mentions, look, I'm being a fool by doing this. Okay, so here's what he says. So you and I are watching this, and we're going to see him do good works, and what are we going to think about this? So he said, okay, for we, and I'm starting with Romans chapter chapter 7, and actually, I'm going to be going there later. Right now, I'm in 2 Corinthians, and then I'm going to Romans 7. But 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and starting with verse 16, I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast a little. So I'm going to boast, and hopefully when I tell you how good I am, you will receive me. and listen to what I say. That's what he's saying. He said, I'm acting like a fool, because that's what the false prophets were doing. They were building up their own reputation so that people would love them and follow them. And that's being a fool. So Paul says, okay, I'm going to be a fool also. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. I'll play your game. I'll do what you're doing. And then we'll compare. For ye suffer, if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take you and exalt himself above you and smite you on the face, that's the kind of person you love. The ones that are murdering you, the false prophets. I speak concerning reproach as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wheresoever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Now the fool speaks. Are they Hebrews? So am I. They're children of Abraham by physical descent? So am I. I'm their equal there. Okay, so they're not better than me there. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Had any of the false prophets suffered this way? Did they have these kind of good works? No. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. The law said you could beat a guy 40 times. They only did it 39 in case they miscounted. They didn't want to misuse the law. But they could smite the Son of God 39 times. It didn't bother them one bit. So he keeps going. 3 times, thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A day and a night I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. How do the false prophets compare with this? What kind of works do they have that can compare with this? In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is offended and I bar not? So he's relating to the people just like Jesus Christ does. Are you ever hungry? So was Jesus. Are you ever tired? So was Jesus. He had to stop and rest at the well, Jacob's well, while the disciples went into to the village to get something to eat. He was so tired he had to sit down and rest. He knows what we're going through. If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern my infirmities. And then he mentions what we just studied recently. He had to be let down through the wall in a basket to get away from those that were after him. Okay, so as I read this, what do you and I think when we look at everything that was done here? What do we think? We think, here was a guy that was filled with good works. He suffered for what he believed in. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he was filled with good works. That's what we would think about him. Now let's look at what he thinks about himself. And I was going to read a lot more, but I'll cut it short and then ask you to read it at home. Romans chapter 7. And this is what Paul thinks about himself. Now, Paul is a Pharisee, and so when we're thinking and reading about what he's saying about himself, let's compare that to the Pharisee that strutted to the front of the temple and said, God, I thank thee, and I'm not like other men are. And then he listed all the good works that he did. Now, how does Paul react? We know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. What are you talking about? This doesn't sound like the guy that we just read about. He's saying, I can't do anything good. The good that I want to do, I don't do, I can't. And the evil that I don't want to do, that I end up doing. That's what he's saying about himself. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, listen to this one. We can use this. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So when we fall into sin, we can do the same thing. This isn't the real me. This isn't who I am. I'm a reborn child of God, one of the very small remnant. That's who I am. And the sin that you see in me is the sin that dwelleth in me. And that causes us to repent. Paul talking again. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. That's Paul talking. That's what he's thinking about himself. Well, that's not what I thought when I read about all he went through in Corinthians. But that's what Paul's thinking. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. I know what I want to do. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. Repetition. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Well, you said that already. Yeah, but it bothers him. It bothers him. He's in the middle of a war, and he's losing it every single day. It bothers him. Does it bother you or me? Should. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. That's amazing. I find a law then that when I would do good, evil is present with me. This is the battle you and I are fighting. He's talking about you and me here. And this is daily struggle, and we lose it every single day. We're still on the bed for 8 years. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in the members of my body, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. We're still lying on the bed for 8 years. But there's a new beginning coming, and it's going to be a totally different story. But the point of it here is this, that you and I, by the grace of God, and this is one of the greatest blessings we have, and I'm going to zero it right now in the family situation, but it happens outside too. But living with the saint, living and seeing how the Holy Spirit is producing good works, it's amazing. It's amazing. And it's so comforting. So every work that we do during these 8 years that we're lying on the bed is a product of the Holy Spirit. and he polishes them and presents them to our Father, and we get rewarded for it. What a God we serve, and what a blessing it is to be living with saints in a family situation, a congregation situation, and maybe even other situations where you see the good works that the Holy Spirit is producing as first fruits, and the best is yet to come.